The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Quite a lot to get to on today's program. One thing we know for sure is that people working at the Federal Reserve, they are essential. They are as busy as they've ever been printing money. That's the way out. That's the way out of this crisis here in the UK. And this is all that the government evidently can do in the United States. Just keep printing money. Another $480 billion? And just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about $2.2 trillion. That's already spent. It's already dried up. $2.2 trillion. And this one announced last night, I think that's phase three. We've got phase four still ahead of us. And all of this happening in just a matter of weeks, just a few weeks' time. You know, it used to be we were talking about just the shock of $1 trillion added to the debt in the course of a year. Now it's happening in a matter of weeks, and not just a trillion. Trillions of dollars. $2 trillion, $3 trillion, four loans going out for $6 trillion. And why stop? Why stop at any figure? If it's already this big and it's not ever, evidently it's not ever going to hurt us, why not go bigger? Why, instead of $480 billion, why not $960 billion? Before $480, I think it was like $250. So you bump it up to $480. What's the difference? A few weeks ago, it was $1 trillion. Then it needed to be $1.5 trillion. Then $2 trillion. Then $2.2. Where does it end? Answer: nowhere. It just keeps going. It just keeps skyrocketing up. The incomprehensible levels of debt. How do you even wrap your mind around it? I'll read you some excerpts from a trumpet here in just a moment. From 7 years ago, where we were talking about these astronomical figures, which truthfully, today, that just seems like a tip you'd leave at a restaurant. $480-some billion. Here's the president last night announcing this latest relief package. I guess it gives relief. Here's clip one.
A short time ago, the Senate passed the Paycheck Protection Program and Health Care Enhancement Act with additional funding for the Paycheck Protection Program, hospitals, and testing. A lot of money for all of them, especially for our workers and our small businesses. My administration has worked aggressively with Congress to negotiate this critical $482 billion funding package. We reached a deal that includes $382 billion in crucial small business support to keep workers on the payroll, $75 billion to aid hospitals, which really need the aid, and very badly, very proud of that, and $25 billion to support coronavirus testing efforts. I urge the House to pass the bill, and they're going to be voting on it, I imagine, very, very soon.
So within that package, you've got $75 billion for hospitals. Hospitals that should be as busy as they've ever been, judging by the hysteria. But as you well know, looking at the facts, hospitals are actually going under. Hospitals are actually closing down. Hospitals actually don't have enough business. So they need $75 billion to be bailed out. $75 billion. And then there's congratulations to go all the way around. Democrat, Republican, everyone on either side of the aisle, everyone in between, they congratulate themselves. They can't spend enough. Everyone is so happy. Everyone's excited. More money. More money that we can print. Here's Secretary Mnuchin. He's the one that devised or put together this package. And he's issuing out congratulations for quite a few people that had their hands in this effort. Clip two.
I'd especially like to thank Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer and the entire Senate for passing this. I'd also like to thank Kevin McCarthy and Nancy Pelosi, who have been working with us round the clock as well, and our Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, who was also very instrumental in this. Let me just comment. We've had tremendous support for the PPP. This gives us another $310 billion. For the PPP. We look forward to the House passing this tomorrow and being up and running quickly after that. This also gives us $50 billion for disaster loans, EIDL loans, that will allow the SBA to make $300 billion of disaster loans, all for small businesses. Also allows us, as the President said, more money to hospitals and unprecedented amount of money for testing. And again, I think we understand hospitals, not only the hospitals that have been impacted by coronavirus, but more importantly, many hospitals that have been shut down and making sure that the doctors and nurses get money.
Many hospitals that have been shut down, he says there at the end. We've got to make sure that the doctors and the nurses get money. They're going broke. Not enough business. This is from a science blog regarding hospitals here in the UK. It says screening for breast, bowel, and cervical cancer can detect the disease before any symptoms show in the early stages when treatment is more effective, but with around 200,000 people per week no longer being screened. This is in the UK. For bowel, breast, and cervical cancer across the UK, there will be a significant number of early cancers left undetected before these programs can be reintroduced. Now, like I said yesterday, this is the world system. This is what we have here in the UK. It's a national health service. It's a single-payer system. You pay in, and you pay a lot, believe me. You pay into it, and then you're totally dependent on it. That's the way of this world. It's not God's world. It's not God's world where the laws of health, radiant health, are taught and practiced. This is the God of medicine. This is how it works. You have all these cancer screenings, hundreds of thousands, 200,000 per week. 200,000 people per week no longer being screened. So it's everything shut down because of the onslaught that never did come. Everything shut down at the NHS because of the onslaught of coronavirus patients that we were told would be there. So what kinds of problems does this introduce health-wise to a nation that's in so many ways is literally sick? The number of people in the United States and Britain suffering from cancer, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, and on it goes. It makes coronavirus seem like, again, just a little sniffle. These chronic diseases that we've brought on ourselves. It says here, the fact that fewer people are going to their GP with symptoms is impacting the whole diagnostic pathway. There's been a significant drop in the number of urgent referrals for cancer, often reported as two-week wait figures. Overall, the number of urgent referrals has dropped to around 25% of usual levels in England. So, I mean, the hospitals here, they're already paid for by the government, so they don't need the bailout. But in the U.S., they're going broke. So $75 billion. We've got, well, initially it was 330 or whatever. We've got to help the small businesses. But then when they all get together, McCarthy and Schumer and McConnell and Pelosi and Mnuchin, they all get together and then, well, look, $25 billion for testing. Remember, Stephanopoulos says we need 20 million people tested for the virus every day. Right now, it's only 150,000. So $25 billion so that everybody in the United States, I guess, gets tested for corona. Unprecedented numbers, unprecedented dollars for a virus, to get tested for a virus. Back to this article regarding the UK. It says this is largely because fewer people are going to their GP, but some GPs are also reluctant to risk sending their patients to the local hospital for fear of COVID-19 infection. But what it means is that for every week that this goes on, 2,250 cancer cases are likely to be going undiagnosed across the UK, and these will be stacking up over time. And their point is that if they catch the cancer, this is the world system, if they catch the cancer early enough, well, then the chemo or whatever the treatment might be can burn it off. So what happens when 2,250 cancer cases each week go undiagnosed? We've heard about the efforts that we need to take to save just one life from corona. Just one. It's all worth it. The lockdown, everything associated with it. So here are some of the side effects. Does this matter? Do cancer deaths matter? Do diabetes deaths? Does that count? Another article here, The Spectator, it says over the next few weeks, we're likely to start hearing more and more about a growing death toll. Not the one from COVID-19, but the one from other conditions. Disturbingly, it appears to be rising. And we are going to have to start asking what role the lockdown has played in this. So you have the deaths from corona. And then now we're deep enough into it, we're starting to get some figures back on the deaths brought on by the lockdown. It says in its latest release on weekly deaths in England and Wales, released this morning, the Office of National Statistics reveals that there were 18,500 deaths in the week ending April 10th. So this is relatively recent. It's going back a week and a half ago, the week ending April 10th, 18,500 deaths here in the UK. That's about 8,000 more than the five-year average for deaths in this particular week of the year. However, in only 6,213 cases was COVID-19 recorded as a cause, and in a lot of these cases, it was one of multiple causes. But it's only reported in 6,200. So on average, it's about 10, 11,000 per week that die in the UK. Now, only 6,000 on this week, going back to April 10th, only 6,200 of them died of COVID-19. And you're something like 7, 8,000 above average. So where are the other deaths coming from? Well, certainly COVID-19 has bumped up that weekly average significantly, but it didn't bump it all the way up to 18,500. It accounted for 6,200. So the Telegraph is asking, where are all these other deaths coming from? It's a good question. It says, in other words, there were around 1,700 extra deaths from causes other than COVID-19. So they're calculating 1,700 extra in the course of 1 week. Remember now, everything we do, it's an effort to save even one life from corona. Just one. And it will have all been worth it. So there's the UK. Lots of empty hospital beds. Lots of cancer patients staying home. Lots of people not even being screened for cancer. And in the United States, We need a $75 billion bailout so that our doctors and nurses can be paid. We need $75 billion so that hospitals can reopen. They've had to shut down during the pandemic of 2020. Here's Secretary Mnuchin last night, clip three.
I think phase four will most likely be what we'd need. I think based upon what we're seeing and the reopening of the economy and the amount of money we're putting in and working with the Federal Reserve on 13-3, I think you're going to see a lot of liquidity, and we look forward to business rebounding, especially later this summer.
Just real quick to follow up, and the PPP program, is this the last tranche of money you think you're going to need for small businesses?
We would expect this is the last tranche, but obviously we can always reconsider that. But this is a lot of money going out. Again, let me just be clear. You know, it's another $310 billion here and another $300 billion of loans. That's over $600 billion putting into small businesses.
And it could be more. We can reconsider that later if we have to. But then the other thing we're really focusing on now, the next phase, infrastructure. And we've talked about that going into the trillions. Trillions and trillions. To rebuild the United States. $600 billion there, he says. $300 for this, $300 for that. Is the cure killing us? It certainly is. All of this, think of it. All of this brought on by a nasty flu season. A really bad flu season. A virus. A virus that killed the U.S. economy. A virus. A virus that killed democracy. A virus that killed the Bill of Rights. A virus of all things that shut down hospitals. Mark Levin, I listened to the first 10, 15 minutes of his show when I'm getting ready for work. He wasn't real happy last night about this level of spending. And he's becoming a lone voice because for so many people, as I say, on both sides of the aisle, they don't even want to hear it. Who cares about the federal debt? Who cares about their spending? Just so long as I get some, just get me my check. Give me my federally backed loan, my loan guarantees. Give me the low interest rates. It doesn't matter if the U.S. government just keeps spending and spending, which means they're just printing and printing. Well, what about the short-term impact with inflation and other things? I don't care. Here's Mark Levin's reaction to those announcements, some of which we just played for you from last night, clip four.
So we've gone from a quarter trillion to now half a trillion. Pelosi and Schumer got virtually everything they wanted. And the Republicans and the president are celebrating it. And what's happening, like the $2.2 trillion bill, is individuals and small businesses are getting the least of it. We spent $2.2 trillion that we don't have. There's no borrowing going on, ladies and gentlemen. That is a neat accounting trick. There is printing of money. It's all gone, and so now they need more. So they're going to print some more. And out of this $500 billion, perhaps half will go to small businesses. And we're now finding that large corporations and franchisers and so forth are getting a lot of this money, not little businesses. Some are, some aren't. This hasn't even been voted on yet. Another half a trillion dollars on top of $2.2 trillion, on top of $6 trillion in loans. And the president of the United States walks up to the microphone and says he looks forward to phase four. Phase four? Oh, yes, phase four. They haven't voted on a half a trillion dollars, but Mnuchin's already working on phase four. Infrastructure, broadband, incentives, state bailouts. They're already working on it behind the scenes. Now, this isn't representative government.
As I say, it's killing democracy. It's killing the Bill of Rights. Now, the people working at the Fed, they've got plenty of work. Just keep rolling those dollar bills off the presses, hot off the presses. dollar bills that one day will be worth nothing. They won't even be worth the paper they're printed on. That's coming. That's coming. And except for maybe one or two voices left on talk radio, no one seems to be concerned about it. We ought to be concerned about it. When you look at what happened in history, the Roman Empire, for example, just look at the British Empire more recently. That used to be the world's currency, the reserve currency, the British pound. That wasn't that long ago. That Conservative Review, Daniel Horowitz writes, once again, Republicans are falling into a trap of getting into a bidding war with Democrats on how much money to spend to treat a self-imposed problem without addressing the cause of the problem. Well, that sounds like something you'd hear on this program. Print and print and print to deal with the effect. In fact, it's self-imposed. We've shut ourselves down. We've shut down our society. We've shut down our economy. We've shut down American and British workers. And our only response to that is to print money. It says, here's a simple truth. If Republicans push to end the shutdown, curtail the unconstitutional actions of governors, suspend taxation and regulations for several years, and get the economy moving, they won't need more bailout bills. If, on the other hand, they continue to shut down and won't address the other issues related to the cause and solution for the China virus, sovereignty, regulations, and supply chains, no amount of monopoly money they print can cover destroying most small businesses in America. It's not going to fix all of our ills. It's not going to heal us as a nation. It says the $480 billion bill pumps another $310 billion into the newly created Paycheck Protection Program for small businesses shut down by the government to incentivize them to keep their employees on the payroll. But they don't address the actual shutdown or get governments to end their unconstitutional restrictions, a power Congress possesses through the 14th Amendment. They don't get America or Britain back to work. Self-imposed problems, cures that are worse than the sicknesses. Here's a bit more from Mark Levin's show, clip 5.
You have children? You have grandchildren? Don't we have a responsibility to them? Future generations, don't we have a responsibility to them? Oh, we're bailing out everybody and anything, except those that need the help. Infrastructure, it's as if we didn't just spend trillions and trillions of dollars. Now, infrastructure and broadband and incentives and state bailouts. And we're setting the nation on a course when the left takes over, and one day they will. God forbid in the next election. What the hell do you think they're going to do with this precedent? I said when they voted on the $2.2 trillion, we're all socialists now. And then Mnuchin's asked some really good questions by reporters. Will there be a phase 5, 6, 7? He says, I think this will be the last phase, this phase 4, but we can always reconsider another phase. We have Pollyannas on radio. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. Well, of course we'll get through this. There's no doubt about that. But will we get through it correctly or incorrectly? Broke and a republic? That's the issue. And beating our chests and patting ourselves on the back and saying we're going to get through this isn't good enough. Why would you adopt the Maduro economic plan?
That's where we're headed. Even in our modern history, he mentions Maduro there. In the next clip, he mentions Venezuela. What about Zimbabwe? This is going the way of Zimbabwe. I forget who gave it to me. It was something like a $50 million note from Zimbabwe that's worth a few pennies. How much longer before you see that in the United States of America? Clip six.
And if you care about your kids and your grandkids, if you care about the survivability of this republic, if you care to defend future generations from what these people are doing in Washington, D.C., both parties, Congress and the administration, you will stand with me. Because this has nothing to do with stimulus. Printing money left and right and shoving it into an economy. Government projects. Government projects. Let people open up their restaurants, their nail salons, their dry cleaners. Let them get to work. Mechanics, electricians, plumbers. Both parties, both branches of government are exploiting us now. Don't make America into Venezuela or the Weimar Republic or Zimbabwe. Don't turn us into some poor, declining European country while the Chinese are on the move and on the rise. Economics didn't change because we have a Republican president and a Republican Senate. Economics are economics. The laws of economics are like the laws of physics. They don't change.
That's Mark Levin from last night. He mentions there when you've got China on the rise, if only he knew. What about those kinds of dangers? What about Russia? What about China? What about Europe? What about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire? If this is what happens to the United States and Britain with a virus, and a virus that's not nearly as lethal as we thought going in, if this is what happens, if this is how the United States responds, if this is the only thing the United States can do, print money, just print more money. What happens when the party ends? What happens when the money's no longer worth anything? How long can the Treasury afford to bankroll the economy? Now, this is from the Telegraph. This is about the UK. How long can this continue? You heard Mark Levin say there, we're all socialists. We've read articles before that says we're all employed by the government. That's what this amounts to. That's what the PPP, this is a new program, Paycheck Protection. And what does it mean? It means you're employed by the government. The government's giving money to the small business so the small business can pay you. That means you're employed by Uncle Sam. Oh, yes. And it's the same here in the UK. This Telegraph piece says the Treasury's various interventions have anesthetized the wider population to the economic consequences of the government's pandemic response. While all around are easing back, Britain, a latecomer to the lockdown party, remains stoically committed to its social distancing regime, with no date yet signaled on when it might come to an end. It's just going to keep going. And the government's just going to keep spending. It says some are taking matters into their own hands. My sense is of a little more traffic on the roads, a bit more economic activity, and so on. So people are getting restless here, just like they are in the United States. That's another side to the story. But it says here, people remain fearful. And with what is in effect a universal basic income, this has been a liberal fantasy for years. Well, you had one of the Democrat candidates who, he was advocating this last year. I forget the guy's name, but he was out there saying you need to get $1,000 a week or a month. I forget the figure. All that, they want a universal paying system. That's what they have now. All it took was a virus. And now everybody's getting paid by the government. Universal basic income, fast-tracked into existence by the pandemic, to fall back on, it says, may be reluctant to return to work even after the government gives the go-ahead. It's talking about the British citizens saying, why should I go to work when I'm getting paid by the government to do nothing? It says, as a nation, we are losing the will to work. Now, you think about the prophecy regarding the broken will, the pride in our power. That's Leviticus 26. We're losing the will to work. It says the Treasury's various interventions have anesthetized the wider population to the economic consequences of the government's pandemic response. It says the Treasury is beginning to work on the basis of a longer, listen to this, they're beginning to work on the basis of a longer U-shaped recovery at best, whether it can afford to finance livelihoods and businesses through such a prolonged hiatus must be increasingly open to question. There is only so long the government can rely on the Bank of England to keep bankrolling the deficit through asset purchases before it undermines confidence in the wider monetary system. The currency collapses and the economy succumbs to an inflationary calamity. There's only so much longer that this can go on. It's true for the United States. It's true for Britain. Coming out of this, again, we wouldn't be surprised for a very, very short term mini resurgence, if you can call it that. But we better be preparing for what's ahead. We better be thinking about how hard and fast the crash is coming. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody sheds tears over this. This is what Brian Stelter and Cuomo and all the other ones, this is what they should be crying about. This is what they should be screaming about. The cure that's killing us. The cure that's destroying an economy. Not that it was very healthy to begin with. A cure that's killing democracy. How much say did the American people have in all these phases? Now they're into phase four. They're into another phase. Well, we can't blame it all on the government, can we? Because the sickness, Isaiah 1, is from head to toe. It's certainly in the head, the leaders, the government. But it goes all the way down to our tippy toes. We're all infected. We're all sick. Here's the Telegraph saying that as a nation, we're losing the will to work. There's a proverb that says the slothful man says, there's a lion without, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. I can't go outside. It's too dangerous. I can't go and work. It's an excuse, isn't it? That's what that proverb is saying. You can't expect me to work with all these dangers all around. How about that? I think that proverb is applicable to today. A slothful nation. Well, if the government's going to pay my company to pay me, what's the rush? What's the hurry? Many are taking that approach here in the UK. Look, I'm employed by the United Kingdom government right now. They're paying nearly all my salary. I rather like the lockdown. Now, I'd like a little more freedom to be able to go to the park without being harassed by the police. But leaving that aside, it's kind of nice not having any burden of responsibility. There's one final clip from Mark Levin, clip 7.
Now open up our country. Give us our liberty back. We know how to deal with this virus. We know how to mitigate. We're not third graders. We're a free people. And it doesn't matter who the president is when you spend like this. Inflation is inflation. Hyperinflation is hyperinflation. Deflation is deflation. When I watch Mnuchin behind a microphone.
Yes, well, you know, we can always go another phase after phase four. You know, we can always reconsider on that phase. We'll take a look.
He already knows what's in phase four. They haven't even voted on phase three. You and I get nothing. We have no say. We have no participation in this. They ram it through the Senate. They ram it through the House. They celebrate it. Well, where the hell did the $2.2 trillion go? These are relief bills. They're not stimulus bills.
It'll be interesting to see just how many in the House vote in favor of this. Remember last time, the $2.2 trillion? It received overwhelming support from both sides of the aisle. And there's at least one commentator that knows how dangerous this is for the United States. Now, his hope is in the United States of America. That's all he has. I don't know how religious he is. Maybe I think he's Jewish, but still, he's thinking about his next generation, his children, his grandchildren, and how long the United States is going to last on this present course. Well, we know a lot more. We know that we're getting right to the end of this age. We're transitioning right into great tribulation. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. And Jesus said it would get so bad that, but not for God's intervention, there'd be no flesh left on this earth. That's where it's headed. This is the end result of human civilization in this era, this age of Satan's rule. This is the end result of virus epidemics on top of wars, nations warring against nations, economic ruin, famine. Matthew 24 and Revelation 6. And of course, you read through the rest of Matthew 24. Leads right into the return of Jesus Christ, when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. That's verse 30. You've got great tribulation in verses 21 and 22, and then seeing the Son of Man coming in the clouds, returning just like he left. Acts 1 talks about him ascending up into the clouds. Matthew 24 says he's coming back from heaven above. He promised this. John 14, if I go, I'm coming again. When does he come again? When is his second coming? Well, at the end of all of these disasters and catastrophes, these wars and famines and disease epidemics discussed in the first part of Matthew 24. We've been warning you about this, going back to Mr. Armstrong's ministry, for decades. For decades. That's the dimension you don't hear about on Mark Levin's show or any other for that matter. But even history tells us this will not end well, this course that we're on. My father wrote in 2013, this is an article from 7 years ago, he quoted Admiral Mike Mullen. Some of you might remember this. I think he quoted from him on his Key of David program as well. But this was someone who said, from a national security perspective, he said, it is the brutal combination of the passage of time that no solution in sight that so intensifies the crisis and the threat. Well, that's what he said basically in response to the biggest threat facing the United States, which, as he said, was our national debt, our deficit spending. So we're quoting him 7 years ago. And then my father goes on to say, America's leaders don't have the will to balance the budget. America owes a record $16.7 trillion. This morning it was at $24.5 trillion. That's what we've tacked on in just 7 years. 16.7 up to 25 or almost 25 trillion. It'll surely be over that in just another few days. Wait till phase four, maybe phase five and six. We might be able to put it up to 30 million. Did I say million? I meant trillion. What is $1 million? What's $1 billion? We're into the, what comes after trillions? We better start thinking about it. They're going to need a whole bunch of new printers at the Federal Reserve. They're going to need to hire a whole bunch of essential workers. While everybody else is locked in their homes, those presses are going to be rolling 24/7. More dollars. Just keep printing the dollars. He said that doesn't even include the tens of trillions in Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security benefits that politicians have promised voters. Those are called unfunded liabilities, money that we don't have. But we've promised, look, if you paid into Social Security, don't worry, you're going to get paid. Your parents are going to get paid. Your grandparents will get paid. How? Well, we'll just print money. It's the most massive pyramid scheme in the history of human civilization. And soon it's all going to collapse. And we're going to be left with nothing. We can thank God for what is prophesied in Matthew 24. My father said, time may be shorter than many think. Well, this certainly is applicable to right now. In December, the Federal Reserve, listen to these figures, the Federal Reserve announced another emergency program to stimulate the economy. The Fed will create $45 billion per month to buy U.S. Treasury bonds. This is in addition to the $40 billion per month it was already creating out of thin air to buy mortgages and artificially prop up the housing market. My father said in 2013, this latest money printing measure is dubbed QE4, quantitative easing, I think is what it was called. And you notice the four. I presume that means there was a first one and a second one and a third one. Well, then phase four happens. And you know what? Once you go down the road, well, who wants to stop at phase four? Why should we stop at phase four when phases one, two, and three were so successful? That's the thinking. That's the way Mnuchin thinks. That's the way McConnell thinks. That's the way Schumer thinks. That's the way Pelosi thinks. That's the way President Trump thinks. They all think that way. It's the way they think here in the UK. Everybody works for the government. We're all socialists. It says here, this new announcement means the Federal Reserve plans to create over $1 trillion this year. Now, that was stunning back in 2013. $1 trillion of debt in 1 year? Are you serious? You can maybe understand the thinking in 2008, early 2009, when we very nearly saw the U.S. economy and the world economy with it destroyed. But no, this was just 2013. This was just right in the middle of the Obama years. $1 trillion of added deficit spending? We blew past that in the first few days of this virus crisis. We're now into approaching $10 trillion, counting all of the loan guarantees that we're making as well. $10 trillion in how long? 4 or 5 weeks? Is this sustainable? This is for a relatively weak virus. What happens when if it does, let's say, come back in a second wave? What happens if there's a new strain of it? What happens if the lockdown continues? How much longer, to quote what the Telegraph says, how much longer can the Treasury afford to bankroll the economy? That's the question. How much longer can they get away with this? My father says that's enough to cover the entire borrowing needs of the U.S. government for the whole year, and the Fed said it will do it again next year. And the year after that, until there is a recovery, or to infinity, whichever comes first. How about that? That's what my father wrote at thetrumpet.com 7 years ago. Until we're finally and completely recovered, we're healthy again, then we can finally stop the printing presses. Then we can finally stop adding to the debt because we'll be on financially sound footing, you see. Or my father was saying, maybe we just do this on into eternity. Infinity, he said. He's talking about $45 billion here, $40 billion there. Like I say, that seems like lunch money for a grade schooler today. today we're well into the trillions. And it's not about just getting into up to, you know, climbing the billion-dollar ladder up to $1 trillion. You've got multiple trillion-dollar packages under consideration right now. Hundreds, thousands, millions, billions, trillions. You put this together with Leviticus 26. I alluded to it a moment ago. God says, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. God says he's broken, really. He's broken the pride of our power. Are these moves made by the United Kingdom and the U.S.? Are they moves made by nations in a real, strong, powerful position? We say that we are. Of course we say it. Oh, the strongest nation in the world. Superpower. Is it really? You see just how rottenness, how much rottenness there is on the inside. The book of Hosea talks about Ephraim being like a moth-eaten garment. My father makes the point in the booklet that on the outside, it looks pretty good. On the surface, it looks pretty good. But then you pull it off the rack, and what happens? It just collapses. That's where we're headed. Break the pride of your power. And then verse 20, it talks about our strength being spent in vain. Let me read to you what Mr. Armstrong wrote. This is from the U.S. and Britain in Prophecy. He said, do you think so great a fall could not come to so great powers as Britain and America? Do you say it can't happen here? Have you said that? Have you thought that? When you hear about these astronomical figures, these unthinkable figures, do you say, well, that's just, you know, they've been talking about debt since the 1990s. And nothing's really collapsed, so it must be that you can just do this forever. Have you thought that way? Do you say it can't happen here? Do you say that? Do you think that? It says, do you think the great God, who was able to give them such unprecedented world leadership and power and wealth, is not able to take it away from them and throw them, like their ancient forefathers, back into slavery? Mr. Armstrong says, you need to open your eyes. Open your eyes to the fact that Britain's sun has already set. It's already set. You need to wake up to the fact that the United States, even still possessing unmatched power, is afraid, fears to use it. Just like God said, I'll break the pride of your power. Talks about losing wars and so on, and then says the United States is fast riding to the greatest fall that ever befell any nation. The handwriting is on the wall. See, we need to start getting emotionally prepared for this, mentally prepared for this, spiritually prepared for this, physically even, as I've been discussing. The greatest fall that ever befell any nation. What must China be thinking? Or Japan? Or these nations that are carrying some of our debt? I assume we don't even need them anymore because we can just print it ourselves. But what are they saying? What must they be saying? What must Europe be saying? Do you think Europe wants to really put their faith, their future, in the strength of the U.S. dollar? You think this puts the dollar in a stronger position? What happens when the world has gotten everything that it's gotten from this great superpower and then decides, you know what? It's time to pull the rug out from under this. The greatest fall that ever befell any nation. Verse 20 in Leviticus 26, it says, and your strength shall be spent in vain. It says, for your land, listen to this, for your land shall not yield her increase, Now, you could look at that as just, I guess, curses on the farming and such, but you look at it in the broader sense. The land yielding her increase. Right now in the United States and Britain, as far as the workforce is concerned, these are nations that are yielding nothing. Everybody's on the dole. Everybody's getting paid from the government. The land is not going to yield its increase, says the Bible. As a nation, what did the Telegraph say? We're losing the will to work. How close are we? How far gone are we? I have the Churchill lecture later today. And one of the quotes that stood out for me, even against a lot of resistance right there at the last, before he finally became prime minister, May 10th, 1940. And as bad as it was, Britain was heading into its darkest hour. As bad as it was, Churchill still had, he had resistance coming from every direction. Buckingham Palace didn't want him to be prime minister. Chamberlain didn't want him to be prime minister. But God saw to it. God put him in there. He goes to Buckingham Palace on the 10th of May. And he comes out from the palace after his appointment as prime minister. And his bodyguard, Churchill's bodyguard, says to him, "You have an enormous task. You have an enormous task." And with tears welling in his eyes, Churchill responded by saying, "God alone knows how great it is." He said, "I hope it's not too late." He said, I'm very much afraid that it is." When we come back, we'll conclude with a couple of emails from you listeners. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
This email comes from Canada. It says, "Just wanted to thank you for the Saturday special, Trumpet Daily. Also really enjoyed the Motivation Factor documentary from the last episode." It says, "I had the opportunity to read Dr. Listig's book entitled Hacking the American Mind. One particular section in the book that detailed the physiological effects of consumption of sugar had on the brain was extremely sobering. It says, reading it made me much more aware of just how subtly Satan attacks us, as well as the importance for husbands and fathers. They have the tremendous responsibility to keep these influences out of our homes, not just wrong images or movies or music." It goes beyond that, as he's pointing out, physical food, that kind of thing. It says that we need to lead our homes and set our families up for success, not only so they aren't overweight and free from chronic disease, but so we're able to set them up for success in right thinking. It says, like you said, the basics we know, alkaline, nutrient-rich, natural whole foods, so we can think clearly, to be able to see the abundant life clearly. Jesus, of course, speaks of the abundant life in John 10 and verse 10. Another listener says, "Such an amazing program today." I think this is in response to yesterday. "Being called into God's church in 2008, my husband and I have heard for years what is happening today. It's inspiring and amazing to be a part of something bigger. Thank you so much for telling the real truth. My husband and I will continue to pray for God to hasten the day when everyone will be unified. Another one here says, good morning. Hopefully you will have at least another Sabbath edition this coming Saturday because the lockdown continues in Philadelphia, unfortunately. Another one here says, I've come to view this modern medicine as a hedonistic system that allows people to live how they want with no concern for consequences. So illness is not our fault, but just bad luck or bad genes. It has nothing to do with how we eat, sleep, exercise, eliminate, or think. That's the way of this world. And then finally, one last one says, thank you for being my lifeline to the truth. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.